All right. Well, we're having a good time. Amen. Going to chapter 12 of Matthew. I'm going to try to communicate something to you tonight. This is not to scare you, but it is to just open your eyes. The title of this is War. And you got to know this. If I cast out devils by the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Jesus said, when the devil's going out, you know I've come. And a sign of Jesus in the area is the powers of darkness are being broken. So he said, when I cast the devil out, now we usually relate this to laying hands on someone and commanding devils to come out, and I've done that on several occasions. But the fact of it is, when the devil leaves, you know God has arrived. And then he said, here's what you have to do. He said in verse 29, how can you enter into the strong man's house and spoil his goods? How do you break into a drug ring and rescue those people? That's, the goods are souls. Someone say souls. And the strong man is the old devil himself. How do you reach in there and grab those souls out except you first? Someone say first. Bind the strong man. So what we do is we pray first, bind up the devil, and then we expect God to bring those people right to us, or us right to them. That's how it works. Don't go in there first until you've done the first thing. You bind up the devil. So the key here is you bind the devil. And I'm sure you're aware there's an invisible war all around us. And we are destined to fight in this war. There's two kingdoms. They are clashing. They're in conflict. They're up over us tonight in the realm of the heavens. There's two invisible spiritual kingdoms that are at war one with another. One is the kingdom of God. One is the kingdom of darkness. Jesus frequently engaged in spiritual warfare. If you read the first few chapters of the gospel, Jesus cast out devils everywhere he went. As his ministry got closer to his crucifixion, it changed a bit. But since we're citizens of the kingdom of God, we are by default drafted. You have been served notice to show up and enlist in this celestial conflict and clash. Now, in order to understand what we are up against, evil spirits that work in the kingdom of darkness, they cause people to be blind, they cause people to be deaf and mute, they cause other physical ailments, they cause individuals to be rebellious. The author of rebellion is the devil himself. He resists the move of God. Resistance against the Holy Ghost is inspired of the devil. Moments before he died, as he was about to be stoned to death, Stephen called out those Jewish rebels in Acts 7:51. He said, you're stiff-necked. You are rebellious. He said, you have always resisted the Holy Ghost, just like your predecessors. Now, there was a woman in the Bible who had a demon in her back. Let me preface this right now. If you've got back problems or got deterioration between L4 and L5, I would almost guess it's not a devil. I would say it's from years of hard work and certain activities that you have done. So I'm not, and then again, we don't know just to the extent that what the devil causes sickness. But if you're going to be honest in the Bible, he does cause sickness. It says in Luke 13:11, behold, there was a woman, and she had a spirit of infirmity or weakness or sickness, and she had it 18 years. And she was bowed together and could no wise lift herself up. Everywhere she went, she bent over. All she could see was the sidewalk. She couldn't look ahead of her. Jesus saw her. Somebody say, Jesus saw her. How many believe Jesus sees you tonight? Jesus takes notice of your problem. Even before you mentioned it to him, Jesus saw her. And he just said to her, he called to her. Not only did he see her, he called to her. And he said, woman, you just got delivered from this sickness. He laid hands on her, and instantly she was made straight, and she straightened right up and went down the street glorifying God. How many of you like that tonight? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, her preacher didn't like it. They called a board meeting and said, we're not having this stuff in this church. We're not having people getting healed. And we're not going to be casting out devils in this church. Don't try that again in this temple or in this synagogue. How many got it? The Bible said the ruler of the temple answered with indignation. Translation, he was ticked. Jesus was messing with their service. He was messing with their protocol. Jesus was messing with their liturgy and their ceremony. He was ticked because Jesus did it on the Sabbath day. Man, I'm going to tell you, you wouldn't believe most of the miracles Jesus did, he did on the Sabbath day, because here's what he's trying to tell you. I am the Sabbath. It is no longer the seventh day of the week. I have fulfilled that. I am here because I am your Sabbath. And when you got Jesus, you are in your Sabbath. So he changed their whole system. He said he was mad because Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. And he said, I'm telling you, Jesus came right back. He said, you hypocrite. I'm telling you, Jesus didn't mince words. He said, you hypocrite, if you've got an ox in the ditch or you've got a mule out there, you're going to go out and get him out and take him to water. You even feed your animals and water them on the Sabbath day. Look at this next verse. He should not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham. Now, this is really hard for me to believe, but there was a demon in her back for 18 years. Now, I don't know how much disease can be attributed to demons. I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to say that when you get sick, you might ask the Lord, is the devil trying to work against me? I do know this. If you go into a sickness, it is not uncommon for the devil to work against you mentally. Most of the time when people go through surgery, they come out, they're suffering some kind of discouragement or depression and despair. And the devil starts playing on their minds. And he starts saying, you know, I don't think you're going to get better. And you go, you know, I think you're right, devil. Come a little closer. You know, I think this is worse than the doctor said it was. In fact, I don't know if you're ever going to go back to what you were doing. And so the devil starts talking when we're in sickness. I do know you got to learn to shut his voice off and tell him to get back to where he came from. And you need to say, get thee behind me, Satan, because I am recovering. I will be on my feet and I will come back to what God has called me to do. Now give a praise. It's hard for me to understand this, but Satan had bound her. But I'm telling you, she got free. So this tells me the Lord sends the devil out. I want you to see this. His adversaries were ashamed. That ruler of the synagogue wished he had never raised his voice. And you know why? Because the common man said, this is wonderful. The people in the synagogue said, we want more of this. And here's what Jesus said. He said, when this happens, the kingdom of God has just come into your midst. Anytime a church sees the devil run out of its community and people being converted and baptized in the name of Jesus, you know the kingdom of God has just come to that place. Now give a praise. Jesus did not mince any words. He called it just what it was. It was a demon. And sometimes, I'm going to take this over to the spiritual realm. Sometimes people walk into this church on Sunday mornings and they're all bound up. They like what they feel. They like what they hear. But I'm telling you, the devil's got them all bound up, not in their back, but in their spirit. And as much as we don't want to believe it and attribute it to darkness, there is a devil at work. And he keeps his subjects bound. And notice how Jesus immediately called it that the kingdom of God. I want to be in that kingdom. And we are at war and we're opposing the kingdom of darkness. I do know this much. The devil would like us to be sick. He would like us to be sick. He wants us to get down in our bodies. Jesus wants us healthy and whole. Say, Jesus wants me healed. Jesus wants me whole in my mind and my body and in my spirit. You claim that. And when you get up in the mornings, you begin to pray. You lay hands on yourself and say, Lord, I call for a healthy heart. I call for healthy lungs. I call for a healthy musculature system. I call for a healthy blood system. I call for new blood into my body. I call wholeness into my joints. Because Jesus died to make me saved and healthy. So here tonight, the devil can work. Yet if we are scripturally wise, we will ask, Lord, is there a demon involved? You see, our mind is the landing field of the devil. So when you come through some kind of a sickness or a disease, it is not uncommon for people to walk through despair and walk through depression because somehow you can't fight like you usually can when you're sick or suffering or recuperating. Now, in America, we are so sophisticated. We don't always detect demons at work. I mean, if you were to walk into most churches today in America, you would never dream there was a spiritual war. All you can see is beautiful carpet. All you see is pews that are padded, lights, beautiful buildings, beautiful people, well-trained music. You would never dream this is a battlefield. You would never detect it. You would see very nicely dressed people and very kind people. And honestly speaking, you would never dream we are in a war for the souls of our community. In the days of Jesus, demons often were out in the open. Today we're more sophisticated, but so help me. A demon walked into a high school and slew 17 children. You can attribute that to one thing. That was a demonic power. The world can call it what it wants to. The news media can call it what they want to wish to call it. But I'm not going to paint it beautiful. That was a demon spirit. Because the Bible says he comes to steal and kill and destroy. Blood in the hallways of America. And unfortunately, we have taken God out of the arena of education. We have told God, you just don't come any further than that front door. No commandments on the walls anymore. And I'm not going to get off into that and rant and rave, but you and I have enough common sense to know that God doesn't go where he's not invited. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to know if demons are around today, in the last week, you've seen demons. I'm just bringing that to you tonight. In third world countries, there are many, many deaf mutes. They're bound by devils. I had a friend who went into Nigeria. They came in contact with an apostolic church and said, would you come preach this message? When they got there, they went way out from the city. And I'm telling you, they fought witch doctors. You would not believe what I'm about to tell you. But those witch doctors believe that if you eat the remains of a dead person, you get more power with the devil. And those witch doctors are something to deal with. There is something in that area known as the hyena. It's an animal. And it has something to do with witchcraft. But when they bury their loved ones, they have to guard their graves. Because those witch doctors go into spells and they have enough power to pull that body through the ground out of the grave and bring it up. And then they cook it and eat it. I know you don't want to hear this in America, but I'm going to tell you, if you're going to go over there and do evangelism, you're going to deal with witchcraft. And you have to first bind the strong man. Because if you go to hold a meeting, they're going to begin to chant and pray that it to their demon god that it rains so hard that you can't have church. They will pray curses on you. But I'm not afraid of them because there is a name higher than that witch doctor. And people who come into their services are so bound, they're in such fear of the witch doctor in the area who owns their soul, so to speak, that these people come in and they get all knotted up and their body begins to twist and contort. Now, I've seen it two or three times. I literally was in a meeting in Arkansas. And a man got up to preach on the name of Jesus. And a lady not far from where I was sitting got all contorted and got down in the aisle. And she began to twist like a serpent. She took on the form of a snake. I saw it with my own eyes. I'm not asking for that to happen in this church. I'm just telling you, the devil is a devil. And we are at war. Because the name of Jesus is not the most popular name in the kingdom of darkness. How many are still with this preacher? The name of Jesus expels these spirits. People are set free to live a normal life. But here's our problem. In America, it's been disguised. In America, it is all sophisticated. People have learned to control that demon through culture and manners and behavior. They can walk right into a church, get in the presence of God, watch you pray, and say, this is great, we've enjoyed being here, and they can walk right out the door as bound as they walked in the door, because they've learned to control that demon spirit. And then they wonder why they can't get free. And I'll tell you why people can't get free. You've got to be straightforward and honest, like the pastor said this morning. I have a problem. And it is the devil. So here tonight, the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. Go into Matthew 12 where Jesus set this pattern. Verse 24 says, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow casts out devils by a Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Now, I've heard a lot of stupid things in my life. But this has to win the price for stupid. Yeah, Jesus is casting out the devil by the devil. Jesus said, don't you know a house divided against itself cannot stand? They accused Jesus of they accused him of operating in the devilish realm. And they were accusing Jesus of being in league with the devil, the ruler of darkness. And I'll tell you what I am. I'm sick up to here of people saying, speaking in tongues is of the devil. fact, I'd be scared to death to say that, and I would be scared to death to do what Joy Behar did this week. I'm just going to send that message out there. She's treading on dangerous territory. Sorry, got to get off that real quick. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. If Satan cast out Satan, how shall his kingdom stand? So in this passage, Jesus stated clearly, Satan does have a kingdom. And he has demons working in it, and he's got people working in it. Now stay with me. Demons in every nation go for the highest offices in the land. They seek to control high offices. Oh, and Pastor, you're making me nervous. Modern day example. The demons of darkness totally seized Germany through Hitler. In fact, that entire nation became demonized. That was nothing but the work of demonic powers. Demons, hear me, demons seek to control people in political offices. That's why anyone who runs for any political office has to be on guard, because that demon is after them. There's something about political power that makes people almost drunk on ego. They forget how to separate what they're elected to do and their ego. And you can mark it down. Many of nations have gone totally communist because demonic powers have seized the high office. Do I have to tell you that the man in North Korea is totally demon-possessed? So we don't fight politically, and we should do what we can. I don't think we need a nuclear war. I think there's enough power in the church to bind him. Unless I'm mistakenly wrong, I think God has reserved 25 million people in North Korea for a last days revival. And I think the reason they're fighting so hard is because the devil knows there's a revival coming to North Korea. And if he can seize the political office and hold it down, he's going to. But I ask you, is there enough power in the church to bind that strong demon? Is it now convincing to you that this is war? Is it now convincing to you that the American church has, for the most part, fallen totally asleep? They're in a lullaby. They've gone into a lull. They have forgotten. You can't out-carpet the devil. You can put 3 inches of carpet all over your church, and you can't out-carpet him. You can make it as plush as you can get it. And thank God for everything we've got. I wouldn't want it without it. But I'm going to tell you, that will never insulate the devil. We're actually here in a war. We are in a battle. We are trying to fight for our community. We're trying to fight for this nation. And we're fighting for souls. Now, this passage states the devil has a kingdom. He's got a hierarchy. And it shows that invisible kingdom is what's resisting us. The invisible kingdom of God is represented by Jesus and his followers. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. And I know it's odd to walk into a church today, because most churches are just generic. You can't tell one from the other. They all baptize Catholic. And what they don't even know, but there's a wake-up call coming. Every one of those churches are actually Catholic. Man, you say you're bold. Yes, I'm bold, and I'm getting ready to get bolder. Because my Bible says, to come out of her, ye my people, and be not a participant of her plagues. And that warning had better come, and it better come strong. Because those churches are under the auspices of Rome. When you take the name of Jesus out of water baptism, it's not just a wink in heaven. It's not just a little error. It's huge. And let me preach this tonight, because the message is going to have to get out there, and you got a job to do, because you've got to warn everybody you know. Come out of her, ye my people, and be not a participant of her plagues. I wish there was a shout now. The reason I put that up there, Jesus spent a lot of time casting out devils. And when Jesus came to town, he wreaked havoc on the kingdom of darkness. He destroyed the devil's works. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And he expects you and me to destroy the works of the devil. He fears the ministry of deliverance, because it takes him out and takes him down and reduces his influence. You can say what you want to. 2 weeks ago, I was in service here on a Sunday morning like you were, maybe. And the delight of my day was to see a little woman come and stand here. I don't suppose she weighed 100 pounds. Life had been hard. And I saw her lift her hands and heard her say, "I want to come back to you, God. Please take me back. I want to come back to you." And I got in her ear and I said, "You're back." You're here. It's happening. How about that, church? You know why? Oh, it's just some woman who's ruined her life and she's in the altar bawling and carried on. Is that how you feel? Well, then God will never send another soul to this church. That was no small thing to me. In fact, Jesus said, "We're doing flip-flops up here. We're jumping over the place. We're carrying on and running and screaming and dancing in heaven, because there's more joy in heaven over one sinner than repents than over 99 just persons." And don't ever get over it. Don't ever get over it. I wish there was a shout over that one. And I thought about that song as she stood there. "The devil thought he had me, but I just got away." That's our job, folks. That's exactly why we're here. That's what we're open for. How do we deal with demons today in America? When individuals attend a church service or a meeting, meeting after meeting, and can't get free, they're bound. If you couldn't get free in this atmosphere this morning, it was because you didn't want to get free. Some people love their demons more than they love God. Some people love their lifestyle, because they know good and well if they get in this altar and start praying in tongues, their lifestyle is over. They know that old life is over, and sometimes people kind of like that old life. There's a lot of fun out there yet to be had. If I get in this altar and get delivered, then there's going to be a requirement of me. Yes, there will be. Because you've just been bought out lock, stock, and barrel, and you don't own yourself anymore, because you've been bought with a price. When people walk in the door and they promise you the world and they can't get free, there's a demon at work. And when your prayer doesn't seem to get through to heaven, there's demonic interference blocking your prayers. That's Bible. And I can't tell you the number of people over the years who said to me in the middle of a crisis, "I'm going to be at church. I promise you I'm going to be in that altar. I promise you're going to see a new person." And all I hear is a promise, and I don't want to roll my eyes, but if I hear that one more time without producing something, it's going to make me sick. I don't want a promise. I want some performance. If you're serious, get serious. But don't lie to me. And most of all, don't give God a promise and not, come on, church. The devil's at work in our communities. The war isn't over. In fact, the bullets are flying everywhere. There's fiery darts of wickedness trying to take out young lives. Let me tell you who's involved in the drug world. It's old people, 55 and 60 years old. You didn't know you was old, but you are. It's not the teenagers and young people. They're the victims. And the whole thing is money. They don't care if they destroy a young person. And they're very, very shrewd with it. They're up in years, and they're making money on bringing drugs into our community. And they're getting out there and getting a hold of vulnerable young people. Come on, preach with me. And these young people are victims of a demonic power. That's why we have to stay at war in this church. If we're going to see people delivered, somebody needs to shout with me tonight. When communities are locked down with violence and drugs, you got to know the devil's at work. Our job is to invade the devil's work and take him down and take him out. There's never been a peace treaty signed between these two kingdoms. Our job is to shine like a light in the darkness. Our job is to build a war machine so that people can be set free. And here's how the devil works against Christians. He works on your mind. He starts lying to you. Oh, this sickness is going to last forever. This is probably the one that's going to take me out. Oh, this sickness is lasting a whole lot longer than I thought or the doctor said. And then the devil gets the church, God's wonderful people, to settle for less. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I like what God's done here, but I'm going to tell you right now, the devil has sold us a bill of goods, and we've often just almost bought it out. This is all that's going to happen. Nathan, that prayer you prayed was right out of the Holy Ghost. I mean, you got the memo from heaven. He prayed right in the Holy Ghost, and here's what we have fallen for. The devil's lied to us. Yes, God's been good in the past. Yes, God's done great things in the past. But we're just so close to the coming of the Lord, he's probably not going to do much more. He's probably going to put us through some really hard right now, some very terrible times, and we're going to just be lucky to hold on by a grip. I'm going to tell you, that's not the attitude from God. God says you're going to go forward, and you're going to come through this, and you're going to get a spirit of victory. And you're going to pull down some strongholds. This ain't it, folks. This is not it. I want you to see some victory here tonight. Now, the devil will talk to you. He'll come to your mind. And then you'll have a little conversation. Now, we're a blessed church. But I'm going to tell you, we're not blessed enough. We're not blessed enough. I'm telling you, there's more that needs to come. And don't you settle for status quo in your life. The day Jeremy Suey got married, I don't know who I told, but I said, touch this boy and I'll pull your head off in prayer. I fought for him all these years. And I'm going to tell you, some of you parents need to get a fighting mode and you need to get in and pull off devil's heads. You want to tick me off, you attack some of my family, devil. And I'm going to tell you, I'll just pray 3 more hours. Someone get a warring spirit on him. You're settling too little. You need to get a warring spirit in prayer. Don't touch him. Don't touch him. You need to get that spirit. Fight those demons out. Come on, somebody. I've told you this, I don't pray nice. I haven't had a sweet hour of prayer in 40 years. There is nothing sweet in my prayer life. I mean, I'm just not, Forgive me. But the devil's a devil. And you better walk in with the whole armor of God. And I mean, you'd better be ready armed. And you better get ready to take down those devils. And you can do it. Someone say, we can do this. Someone say, we're at war. Get real in your prayer life. Don't go in there syrupy and all sweet and all kind when you've been fighting hell, fighting darkness. Get in there. You're in war. Your community's in war. Your neighbor's kids are dying. Some kid bumped into me in the hallway at CR. He said, you remember me? And I said, no, but you look familiar. He said, I went here to Sunday school. Don't ever underestimate the power of Sunday school. Oh, it's just Sunday school. Well, he was back this morning, and some of you know him. And I said, I am so proud to see you here this morning because we're going to beat the devil. We're going to pull you back into the kingdom. We're at war here. Somebody give praise. Somebody give praise. Colossians 1:12 says, give thanks to the Father. We have an inheritance. Verse 12, who delivered us? Someone say delivered us in verse 13. From the power of darkness. And translate this into the kingdom of his dear son. This is the only way I can explain this. You're over there living in Indiana. And this power comes up and pulls you kind of like Dorothy. I mean, she's walking down the road and a tornado coming in through Kansas. And next thing she knows, she's walking up the yellow brick road. That's you. You're Dorothy. You were over there walking in darkness, living in sin. Next thing you know, a whirlwind of the Holy Ghost came along and got you and put you on the road to victory. And put you on a road in power. You just got translated. You just got picked up. I hope I'm preaching to somebody tonight. Our job is to cast out devils. You drive them out of your community. Take authority over demonic influence in your community. Cast them out in Jesus' name. When you're driving through your area, say, I bind every demon on this street. Nothing new. You might as well get the work of God going. Bind devils all over your area. Take them down. Take them out. Begin to set people free. Come on. There's a tendency for us to think that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of devil are equal. Some people think the devil's as strong as God. Remember, God made the devil. Say it. He's a created being, and he's terminal, and he's very sick, and he's dying. And basically, we may be just months or years from him going down. It's getting ready to happen pretty quick, folks. Because I'm going to tell you, at the end of that tribulation, there's one angel going to come with one chain and bind him up. It's only going to take one angel. So he's terminal and he's limited. So don't go around being afraid of the devil. Oh, I'm just scared to death after that message last night. There must just be demons everywhere here on the way home. I'm just scared they're going to jump out somewhere. No, they're not. You got angels riding your car. In fact, some of you need to stop along the road and let a few angels out. When you get home tonight, open your door and say, angels, go up and down this street. Start ousting the devil. You say you believe that? Yes, I believe it. Now give a praise. The devil is terminal. He's no match for God. They are not equals. And we've been taught they're two equal superpowers. No, they're not. Ephesians says that God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. You say, well, I prayed and the devil didn't go. Keep praying, he's going. Taverns burned down, there's a reason. Somebody's praying somewhere. You say, man, you think, yeah, you ought to do that. Pray evil out. My Lord, forgive us, but there's a lady in this church in this service tonight. She came to me one time and she said, I'm telling you, the drugs in our area are so bad. They're manufacturing it in houses up and down, not far from us. And I said, let's pray them out. We began to pray, and lo and behold, it wasn't long till the whole house burned up. She said, now I feel bad. And I said, why? You ought to feel good. You just saved hundreds of young people. Satan's kingdom. Now, when I was in school, we learned there was a sun with nine planets. Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Neptune, Pluto, Saturn. Who? Uranus. Yeah, that's weird. How many were taught there's nine? What do they do every, how often do we go around the sun? Every 300, when you have a birthday, you have just had a trip around the sun. For some of you, you've had several trips. But your birthday says, I just got home. And they're going, where? I've been around, I just went around the sun. That's what your birthday says. Now, I want you to see Earth. I guess we're the fourth one out, maybe. Third, Mercury, Venus, Earth, yeah, got it. Third. Here's my point. The devil is limited to that little bitty terrestrial ball. Poor little devil. All he's got is this little ball. He's limited to the Earth. Where's our great and mighty Jesus? He's over the entire universe. Not only the solar system, but many solar systems in the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is one of, what, 483 million galaxies? And scientists are discovering more galaxies. I'm going to tell you, God is over that whole thing. You need to understand how limited the devil is, and you need to get him out of your life and get him out of your community and get rid of him and quit giving him all this power he doesn't even have. Somebody shout with me right now. Someone's going to dominate. We're wrestling not against persons with bodies. Ephesians 6:12. I'm going to read another translation. We're wrestling against rulers with various areas and descending orders of authority against the world dominators of this present darkness. Dominate is what the devil does to people. He overrides their free will and choices. He takes their freedom. God never dominates anyone. Everything you do for God is your choice. He gave us a mind, and he gave us free will. I choose to serve him. It's important you understand that. But someone will dominate this region. How do you know when the kingdom of God is operating? Here's how. When the Baptist church pulls up Jesse Moon's water baptism and watches it and says, man, that's power. Jesse, you didn't know you was preaching. But the Baptist watched your baptism and said, why don't we have that? You know what God's dream is? Every church have power. But I'm going to tell you, when they're watching your water baptisms and seeing people get delivered, that's telling you the kingdom of God is in operation. Somebody shout it. Let me tell you about water baptism. It doesn't mean you're joining the church. It means you just had your sins washed away through the name of Jesus. You didn't join a denomination. And you didn't join a local church body. You joined the body of Christ International. You just came out of the devil's kingdom and got translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I want you to hear this tonight. The Bible says the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. I'm telling you what, folks, he's terminal. Satan's not in hell. He's at large right now and on the loose. He is hostile and he's aggressive and he's sinister. And it's nearly incredible, but Satan and his angels were one time servants to God. And you've got to realize there are three heavens. Now, there's a movie out about a little boy, 4 years old, who went to heaven and saw all kinds of stuff. Now, you can believe that if you want to. I'm going to tell you right in this pulpit, I don't believe it at all. I just don't believe that at all, and I'll tell you why. I have Bible. The Apostle Paul said, I knew a man in Christ 14 years ago. I don't know if he was in the body or out of the body. I cannot tell. God knows. But he was caught to the third heavens. I knew that man, that he was caught to paradise. And I want you to see verse 4. He heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful to utter. This Paul was so modest, he wouldn't even put his name on that. And everybody thinks it was him. Probably was. But he was so modest that he said, I saw things that are unutterable. And God told me to keep my mouth shut about what I saw and reveal very little. Are you with me? And I don't think God's going to use a four-year-old boy to bring revelation to the church, and forgive me. I hope the kid had something from God. But I'm going to tell you right now, when the Apostle Paul said, I wasn't even going to speak about it, I think I'm going to take his word over modern-day stuff. Would somebody preach with me tonight? And here's my point. There are three heavens. Nehemiah 9:6 says, even thou, O Lord, hast made the heaven and the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, you've preserved them all, and the host of heaven worships thee. Lucifer, in his Isaiah 14, he said, I will be like the Most High God. He had a pride problem. Young people, hear me, so you'll know this. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. I don't know if you've ever seen Elvis Presley's Hawaii movie. Forgive me. But when he sang Dixieland, I'm telling you, those trumpets, it was good. Forgive me. But Elvis came out with a suit on with gold studs all over it. I pray he went to heaven, because I'd sure like to hear him sing. God, I don't know. Forgive me, you aren't supposed to pray for dead people, because whatever. But he came out on stage with a white suit and gold studs everywhere. Forgive me. But the devil had jewels all over his body. And when he'd lead worship, I mean, he could move. He was the worship leader. And I mean, he had those angels swooning. And he said, I'm going to be like the Most High God. I'm not happy where I am. I'd like to be elevated. And that's when he went around, and at lunch he'd say, you know, I don't think God's doing too well running heaven. Now that's exactly what happened. He got rebellion. Man, if I'm an angel, I don't think I want to leave. I don't know if you've seen earth lately, but it ain't heaven. Now if I was up there eating heavenly angel food, I think I'd leave my carcass right in heaven. And if God said, do something, I think I'd go, yes, sir. Anything you say, God, just don't kick me out of here. But he got one third of the angels to go. You know where they went? The first heaven is where birds fly. The second heaven is where the demon powers are. That's the second heaven. The third heaven is where God sits high on a throne. That's where Jesus went. You say, how do you know Jesus went there? I got a scripture, Hebrews 7:26, and I'm getting ready to wind this baby in and come up for a landing. He ascended high. We have a high priest who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and what? Higher than the heavens. And when the devil got kicked out, he's got nests. Everyone say nests. There's demonic nests between where birds fly and where God sits. That's called the second heaven. You say, man, This sounds like Star Wars. Real close. It's real close. Where do you think they got their idea for a movie? Right out of God's word. Folks, this is war. And there's nests of demons. And watch this. These demons have been assigned geographical areas. Where do you think the Prince of Persia was assigned? Iran. Do you think there's a prince over North Korea running? Yeah. I wonder if the church has enough power to break it. Everywhere I go and preach prayer conferences, I ask them, do we have enough power to break the North Korean demons? I think if we just keep hitting it and just keep hitting it, I think if we just keep hitting it with prayer and tying up the strong man, I think God is not going to overlook 25 million people. They deserve an end-time revival just like the church in America.